Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. The time is 8 minutes after 1 p.m., March 19, 2012. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Olson's just arriving, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan, Senator McGuire, and myself, Stedman. We're going to continue this afternoon with public hearing on the Senate Bill 192, Resources, Oil and Gas Production Tax. So what we've been doing is having 2 minutes of testimony and to make sure everybody has ample opportunity to testify, and also everybody gets the same time allocations to make it fair for everybody. And if you could start by introducing yourself and who you represent, and then speak to the bill. The folks that work in the LIOs will help with timing the 2 minutes, and they'll start after you've introduced yourself. So you'll have 2 full minutes of testimony, and they will then help you know when the end of the 2 minutes are, where you could make sure you summarize and stop your testimony. Now, with that, I'd like to go ahead and start with Anchorage LIO, Karen Cowart, please. Karen Cowart, Anchorage LIO.
Thank you very much. My name is Karen Cowart, and I'm representing myself. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to provide testimony. In 1975, my Navy husband received orders to Adak Island in the Aleutians. We moved our family there, and we fell in love with Alaska the moment we arrived. When he retired in 1980, we stayed, we moved to Anchorage, and he began working for the Alyeska Pipeline Service Company. We raised our 2 children here and are the proud grandparents of 4 Alaskan-born grandchildren. As members of the Senate Finance Committee, you have a very important matter before you, proposed oil tax changes. It's a difficult and complex subject, and one that is filled with emotion and strong opinion. But from my point of view, it seems simple. Jobs and investment dollars that could be supporting Alaskans are going to other more viable sites such as Alberta, North Dakota, Gulf of Mexico, and other places across the globe. Alaska's tax policy is leaving Alaskan oil in the ground. The oil industry has been the engine that has driven our state to financial stability and success. But unless significant and meaningful changes are made to our tax regimen, future investment dollars will not be spent in Alaska. I urge you to support tax changes that will put more oil in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, increase in investment in North Slope development, put more people to work, and open new long-term possibilities for the North Slope. The governor's bill, HB 110, passed the House last year and provided the meaningful changes needed to encourage greater investment. SB 192 does not encourage new investment and new projects. It encourages a harvest regimen. Alaska has a lot of oil remaining in the ground, but that oil is worthless unless companies are willing to invest the capital that their investors have trusted them with. We need to improve Alaska's competitiveness in the global economy. Please consider the future of my grandchildren and their ability to stay and work in Alaska, and pass changes to our tax regimen that will ensure future growth and prosperity for all Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Next up, Avis Thompson, please. Avis Thompson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Co-Chairs Hoffman and Stedman, and members of the committee. My name is Avis Thompson, Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association, and I'm here today to testify on behalf of the nearly 200 member companies of the Alaska Trucking Association in support of House Bill 110, the Governor's Production Tax on Oil and Gas Bill. The oil throughput of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System continues to decline at a rate that will shut down the pipeline in the very near future. The Governor's goal of 1 million barrels a day can be accomplished if we Alaskans are willing to provide a fair and competitive tax regime to clearly demonstrate that Alaska is open for business and to attract new investment and to put more oil in the pipe. Additional oil production means jobs for Alaskans. Your two major consultants have testified that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 182 encourages a, quote, harvest regime, and, quote, inhibits the development of new projects and resources. In our view, for Alaskans to even consider remaining in a harvest mode seems to fly in the face of logic. Why wouldn't we want to stem the decline? Committee substitute for Senate Bill 192 needs significant changes before it moves out of the Senate Finance Committee. If Alaska's take remains so high that Alaska producers shift investment to other energy jurisdictions, we are only harming ourselves by guaranteeing an accelerated oil production decline. The oil industry will simply invest in other places that offer a better return on their investment. Alaska's future depends on a robust and productive pipeline with lots of oil flowing through it every day. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or co-chairs, and members of the committee.
Okay, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Thompson, today. Pete Stokes, please.
Co-chairs Stedman, Hoffman, and senators on the committee, my name is Pete Stokes, and I live and work in Anchorage. I'm testifying on behalf of myself and my three offspring and two grandsons and their future. Thank you for your service and letting me and others of the public testify on this important piece of tax reform that is needed to increase investment in new production in Alaska. I grew up on the Kenai Peninsula, went to college in Fairbanks, and have worked in oil and gas starting in Alaska with jobs in other states overseas, and then I've been working here for the last 10 years in Anchorage. Three points I would like to make are: Alaska oil and gas investments are not competitive. Progressivity is the problem. Senate Bill 192 currently is not meaningful. Alaska is currently not competitive in attracting oil and gas investments. Most other areas are having high drilling activity with high oil prices. In Alaska, investments are very, very low currently with our high oil prices. Progressivity is the main reason we're not competitive. Companies will not invest if they cannot make better, if they can make better returns in other areas. Lower the progressivity rate and use brackets so that it does not give the state all of the upside on oil price increases. Senate Bill 192, as written, will not attract more investment. It encourages a harvest regime and inhibits the development of new projects and resources, as was the testimony of the Senate Resources Consultant, PFC, in February. In summary, I urge you to change SB 192 with meaningful changes to progressivity to allow Alaska to become more competitive in investments for new oil production. Chairman and Senators, thank you for all of your efforts.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Peter Maxey, please.
Chairs. Peter Maxey is my name. I'm representing a small company, Steel Fab, here in Anchorage, 60-year-old company, and myself. Friends, this is the second time I've expressed my dissatisfaction with SB 192. I'm looking for some meaningful change. I'm sorry they did not take this much time, thought, and input when you passed the current tax policy. We would not be here now. But you did not, and in less than a month, you pushed through what now appears to be an investment-stopping tax law. Why not return to the starting point or split the difference and have the current level? But I'm asking you to do something. I made a statement the last time I spoke that this state runs on oil, not fish, not tourism, not mining, and certainly not logging. You need to pay attention here and do something to invigorate this cash cow that we call oil. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony this morning or this afternoon. Looks like Laura Reinbolt.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my testimony. My name is Laura Reinbolt, and I am representing myself. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I'm a business major. I was here before oil. Oil has brought life to Alaska. It's brought investment. It's brought energy. It's brought jobs, infrastructure, education, health care, and even your jobs. The future of Alaska looks dim right now. We can consistently see a decrease in production, however, an increase in government spending. There's no new projects in sight. Alaska elected you. We trusted you to help shape our Alaska future. Last month, I had the privilege of watching Pedro Van Meer's testimony to your Senate committee. I commend you for bringing him on to speak. He said ACES is supposed to be clear and equitable, but it's not. He said it was confusing and uncompetitive. Pedro recommended that you have a simple, lower tax to make Alaska more competitive. He stated Alaska was not competitive. Second, Armstrong for oil and gas, in a letter to the Alaska state legislators on March 12th, stated that we are missing potentially a $9 billion investment if we don't have a meaningful tax reduction now. So in summary, Pedro Van Meers, please listen to him. He said the government take, it's too big. We need legislation now to encourage long-term investment in Alaska's future. Alaska's future depends on your actions. Alaska depends on oil every day, and we're losing a risk of losing capital investments. You're dimming Alaska's future by waiting. Please make a meaningful tax reform. Alaska's future is in your hands. Please help make Alaska bright by doing a meaningful tax reduction now. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Laura. Michael Jesperson.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Michael Jesperson. I'm representing myself here today. I'm taking time away from work to come and talk to you because this is so important. My children, I have three, their future depends on oil because this state depends on oil. SB 192, as currently written, doesn't help. The economy is going to tank, and my kids will graduate in a couple of years and have to leave the state to get decent jobs. You've got an opportunity to fix that so they can stay here and so can many others. My personal perspective is right now you're doing the same thing to the House that you claim they did to you last year, giving them a bill without enough time to consider it. Not only that, you're giving them a bill that doesn't make meaningful change. It's almost as if you don't want to do anything, but you know you've got to do something or the political fallout will be too bad. So you do as little as possible. It won't affect change, and then you'll say, see, we tried, but it didn't work. That's basically what it looks like to me, and I'm sorry if that's offensive, but that's the perspective I've got. You need to do something right now, like take House Bill 110 and substitute it in for your current bill, make meaningful change, give my children a chance for a future in Alaska. If you don't do it now, it'll be too late, and it'll take the economy too many years to recover. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Now we're going to go to Kodiak. Jake Jacobson.
Yes, thank you, Senators, for the opportunity to speak here. I'm speaking representing just myself. I've been watching this situation as it's unfolded for the last several years. I think Senator Gary Stevens stated the case very well at the Commonwealth North meeting on the 12th of December last year. Anyway, personally, I oppose sacrificing Alaska tax revenues for big oil profits. At one point, it was estimated it would cost the Alaska tax revenues up to $2 billion a year, but we had no promises of anything in return. That seems just really foolish to me. I think the taxes paid to Alaska by big oil should be adjusted so that only expenses in Alaska are deducted by big oil. I understand that might not be the case currently. We also need to change ACES so that if the price of oil does fall below $50 a barrel, Alaska still gets a clear and equitable share. I think the TAPS pipeline should be made easily accessible to independents. There is activity up there right now by independents under the current tax regime. I don't see why we should be worried about changing it from that point of view. TAPS will be functional with a much lower flow. I don't understand the goal of 1 million barrels per year when 600,000 barrels per year is bringing Alaska so much more money than we ever got when we were pumping up to 2 billion barrels per year. The Strategic Oil Reserve in Texas and Louisiana as crude oil been pumped back into the ground for future use. We've got essentially the same thing on the North Slope. I think that we should recognize that, and that that oil in the ground is far better for us right now than money in the bank. Big oil knows that. We need to recognize that, too. I do agree with the governor that we should cut the spending. As it is right now, as things go along, according to a presentation I saw that Representative Osterman made here at Kodiak a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be good till 2020. We don't have to be in a rush right now. Leave that oil in the ground and money in the bank for future generations, just as individuals should manage their own finances and resources. The Alaska Dispatch did a really great piece on the 12 myths that surround this issue. I think that should be reviewed. Anyway, I guess my final statement would be that in this case, don't just do something. Sit there for a while. I think things are going to work out fine as they are. Thank you very much.
Mr. Jacobson, can you put your name on the record, please?
My name is James P. Jacobson. I'm known as Jake, and I have signed in here at the LIO.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Matt Sue. Gene Woods, please.
My name is Gene Woods. I represent myself and my family, which spans three generations. I probably have a conflict of interest because since Big Oil, I receive a PFD. I no longer pay an Alaska income tax. 70% of my school bonds are paid for with money from Big Oil. Revenue sharing from my local governments. Generous donations to the university system. Some very nice scholarships sponsored by the oil companies. Oil company employees take part in other communities through donations and as volunteers. If you're 65, you get a free license plate. That's pretty nice. That's all happened since Big Oil. Alaska should get its fair share, but everyone involved in the oil business, even the oil companies that put people to work, should have a voice. SB 192 Community Substitute does not pay attention to your consultant recommendation that government take should be capped at a reasonable level. It does reduce taxes some, but not enough to lead to additional investment. Oil companies pay the state of Alaska royalties, production taxes, property taxes, and corporate income taxes, plus taxes to federal and local governments. Would you personally run a business for yourself under these conditions? Please move a little closer to HB 110 and fill up tabs. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony this afternoon. Now we'll jump up to Nome. Richard Penavilli.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies, and thank you for the opportunity to testify. Benville. I like the Italian feel, though, Benavilli. In any case, I'm not an oil expert. I'm a small business owner, Nome Discovery Tours, a small tour company here on the Seward Peninsula who pays a great deal for gas. And I live in a part of the world where I have friends of mine, native friends of mine, Teller and Shishmaref, that can hardly make it through the winter, especially a hard winter like this, without the cost of, with the expensive cost of energy. My reason for saying that in this particular venue is because I'm not so sure that the bill that is in front of you, HB 192, it has the teeth to really affect the meaningful change. Because in order for the things that concern me to be corrected, that's going to, however it goes, is going to take a better positioning of Alaska competitively within the international market. And we need to be as attractive as it is as possible. We also need to work with our native elders in the regions, but we need to position ourselves better in the world of oil, big oil, and I think that is done by, and I don't want to say I approve of the governor's bill, but, you know, I sit on the state chamber board, and they're very learned people, and they seem to be going towards that, but for meaningful change. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for your time, and good afternoon.
Okay, thank you, Richard, for your testimony. We're now going to jump to the off-net, and it's a little more awkward in the off-net. because of the cross voices sometimes if you run long. So please try to keep your comments to 2 minutes or less, and don't forget to identify yourself in the beginning. Josephine Pinocata, probably got that name close, but not right. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joseph Princiota. I came to Alaska in 1964, shortly after the earthquake, to help out. Corporations currently benefit from rights and privileges that are normally understood as belonging to human beings. However, the concept, the design, the very construct that's known as a corporation is incapable of conducting itself in a manner that could be described as humane. In its fiscal responsibilities to investors and stockholders, the corporation cannot ever openly state, quote, enough is enough. The deal is fair. We're satisfied with the record profits we currently enjoy, unquote. Enough can never be enough for a corporation. Documented evidence supports the position that the current fiscal situation regarding the activities of the major oil resource developers doing business in and with the state of Alaska is more than fair. Alaska ranks well above the majority of other resource owners worldwide in providing remarkable profits to the oil resource developers. And additionally, Alaska offers an intelligent and dedicated labor force. The present attempt to tilt the playing field further in favor of corporation profits is to be expected. It's the very nature of a corporation to never be satisfied with the status quo. Corporate greed is not an evil thing. It's just the nature of the beast. Corporate greed brought the oil resource development corporations to Alaska. But an informed, attentive, dedicated, and fearless legislature can protect Alaska and Alaskan citizens from being cheated, abused, and consumed in this contest between calculated, insatiable corporate greed and Alaska's true long-range economic need. Don't weaken Alaska's fiscal position. Don't offer unnecessary incentives to the oil resource developers. Resist them. Defend us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Joseph. Deborah Brolini.
Hi, my name is Deborah Brolini. I'm a 36-year Alaskan and the mother of two. I have serious concerns about the CF for SB 192. I do not believe that it will bring necessary investment needed to stem the decline in TAPS. In the 1990s, I was a technical writer on the NYX project, which was a $165 million capital project where I documented project engineering on the front end. It was a project where ARCO, BP, and Exxon worked together. I worked with the best engineers and talent in the world on an accelerated project, a project with a five-year lifespan with engineering, from engineering to project completion. Today, our producers have bookmarked potential projects like BIX, but none have pulled the lever of go on an Alaskan project for some time, and we have nothing in the queue. However, the producers are spending billions of capital dollars worldwide, just not in Alaska. A few months ago, I listened to a presentation from economist Roger Marks where he was discussing ACEs and diverting capital spending back to Alaska. I asked Mr. Marks, what would be the window of opportunity for diverting capital spending back to Alaska? He said it could take as long as 3 years. I'm not sure Alaska has that kind of time. Oil tax reform must pull levers immediately to bring back capital spending and capital projects back to our state. We do not have the luxury of time on our side nor the volumes and taps to save us from a looming economic crash. There is legislation, HB 110, shelved in Senate Labor and Commerce, which I believe will set into motion a start of the return of capital spending by the producers. Is it a perfect bill? No, but one that has been publicly vetted and could be built upon so all Alaskans win. Senators, I survived the Alaska economic crash of 1986, and I'm not at all interested in reliving one with my children when I see so much opportunity for our state and my children's future. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony this morning, Deborah. Jason Bruni, please.
For the record, my name is Jason Bruni. I served as co-chair for Governor Parnell's Resources, Energy, and Environment Transition Team. I am chair of the board of Consumer Energy Alliance Alaska, a board member of the Alaska Miners Association, and a proud member of the Resource Development Council, State Chamber of Commerce, and the Alaska Support Industry Alliance, all of whom have already testified, and I would like to endorse their testimony for the record. Let me be clear. I support HB 110 and feel that the version of SB 192 that the Senate is deliberating is a waste of time. I find it very intriguing that certain senators like to use the fact that HB 110 only narrowly passed the House as a reason not to support the bill. This is especially interesting given that the same body did not use this logic when considering and ultimately killing HB 106, the ACMP bill which passed 40-0 unanimously out of the House. Indeed, very interesting, but that is for another hearing. Governor Parnell's Resources, Energy, and Environment Transition Team was made up of a cross-section of Alaskans. After many meetings and lengthy discussions, there was unanimous agreement that increasing throughput in taps should be the number one goal of Alaskans. We indicated in our report that, quote, increasing oil production on the North Slope is vital to Alaska's economic future, and the governor should proceed with a sense of urgency to achieving this goal. Taxes and royalties from oil development account for nearly 9 out of every $10 in revenue the state collects. While current oil prices are exceedingly high relative to historic standards, North Slope oil production is less than one-third the level of its peak. Without sufficient new investment, Alaska's future ability to provide basic services to its citizens will be imperiled, end quote. The report continued. Specific emphasis must be placed on addressing the negative investment climate caused by progressivity, end quote. In conclusion, I urge the Senate to hear the voice of Alaskans. Please pass a bill that makes a difference, not one that makes a mockery of tens of thousands of hardworking Alaskans who believe it's time for a change. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thanks for your testimony. Vince Beltrami.
Yes, Senator. Co-chairs Stedman and Hoffman, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to testify. My name is Vince Beltrami. I'm president of the Alaska AFL-CIO and a participant in the Stand Up Alaska Coalition. The Alaska AFL-CIO has between 55 and 60,000 union members in the state, the overwhelming majority of which are supportive of the Senate's approach to oil tax reform like SB 192. In fact, in a poll we recently conducted, by a margin of 63% to 27%, Alaskans, union and non-union alike, acknowledged we need the oil companies to invest here and we need a healthy industry, but that we have to hold the industry accountable to make sure the people of Alaska get our fair share. The jobs are created here and that we don't just hand over $1.8 to $2 billion a year in a windfall to the oil companies. And while it's appreciated that public testimony has been open, it's clear that the governor and the industry are lining up people to testify in opposition to SB 192, claiming that HB 110 is the way to go. But the HB 110 approach is exactly what the Alaska public doesn't want. Give them the money and just hope we get the jobs and investment. The rationale for their position is like playing advocacy whack-a-mole. First, they popped up with concerns ACEs didn't incentivize exploration. You asked questions and whacked that mole back into its hole. Then in SB 192, you addressed progressivity. Whack. Then they brought up throughput. Whack. It's addressed in SB 192. And now in the testimony I heard earlier today, it's about jobs for our kids. I'm not sure how this game is going to end, but your arms have got to be getting tired. As someone who's spent a career negotiating for Alaska jobs, I can tell you, if commitments aren't in writing, they don't mean a thing. And Alaskans overwhelmingly support a bill like SB 192 that acknowledges progressivity concerns by the industry, but that also seeks to reward the industry for more throughput. That is a reasonable approach and one that Alaskans agree with. I would like to thank the bipartisan Senate majority for carefully considering what is best in the long run for the future of our state. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your testimony, Vince. Now we'll go to off-net Brent, Senate.
That's correct. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, please, and then continue with your testimony. Brennan, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we're waiting patiently for you.
Okay, I've been introducing myself. Did you catch all that?
No, we didn't catch that, so you might want to start over.
Okay, sorry. Brent Sinnott, I live in Anchorage. I'm a 25-year Alaska resident. I work for CH2M Hill, and I'm testifying in support of significant and meaningful tax reform as originally proposed in House Bill 110. I'm calling today from the North Slope, which might explain some of the communications difficulties. Today it's cold here. It's 33 below zero. Oil production is declining, and taxes on oil and gas produced here are prohibitive. When I say taxes are prohibitive, I specifically refer to the progressivity in taxes on oil production. This progressivity is a deterrent to future oil investment in the state. Future oil investment in Alaska means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To me, it means two things primarily. Alaska's education system and other infrastructure can be maintained and improved, and Alaskans, including my children and yours, will have the opportunity to live and work in Alaska, in the oil and gas industry itself, or the myriad of businesses that directly and indirectly support the industry. House Bill 110 provides the significant and meaningful tax reform necessary to spur oil and gas industry investment in the state. Absent this investment, there's little incentive for major oil and gas operators to invest more dollars in Alaska. Absent investment dollars, the future of the state of Alaska is bleak. In conclusion, I reiterate my support for significant and meaningful tax reform as originally proposed in Governor Parnell's House Bill 110. Thanks a bunch.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today. We're now going to jump to the Anchorage LIO, Andy Rogers.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Andy Rogers. I'm a lifelong Alaskan with four generations of my family in the state. I represent my wife, my two children, and with them, we are owners of a healthcare business with clinics in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Wasilla, and Soldotna. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my testimony. I do not agree or support Senate Bill 192, nor do I approve of the somewhat questionable way I believe that it the CS left Senate Resources Committee. I brought myself a note here today so I wouldn't forget to take a moment of my allotted time to thank Senators Wagner and McGuire for making attempt after doomed attempt to try to introduce some changes to 192 that actually supported all the testimony received from invited professionals, from paid consultants, and from the overwhelming majority of constituents that testified at the public hearing. Each and every piece of that testimony, the invited testimony, has declared that Alaska is languishing in decline while our industry is booming worldwide. And each has claimed that the reason for this is Alaska is not competitive. I had some hope that Senate Resources would make some wise choices after hearing all of that testimony and after listening to the vast majority of their constituents in public testimony support a more significant change to oil taxes, specifically a reduction. I believe that obviously that hope was misplaced. I'm an optimistic guy, though. I've owned businesses for a long time in Alaska, and you don't get to sign people's paychecks every 2 weeks without a certain amount of optimism. So I'm hopeful that Senate Finance will either do something productive and meaningful with this bill, or we can just let it die in committee and not burden the House with a last-minute meaningless bill.
Mr. Rogers, could you sum up, please?
Sure, I'll
sum up.
You guys have a tough job, and it's a difficult set of decisions to rein in the various budgets, but I don't think you can continue to make the mistakes you've made with our state's economic engine to avoid that hard work on budgets. Good luck, and thank you for taking my testimony.
Next up, Rachel Petro.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairman Stedman and Hoffman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rachel Petro, and I'm the President and CEO of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. The Alaska Chamber is a statewide pro-business, pro-Alaska organization made up of businesses across Alaska. And on behalf of Alaska Chamber members who overwhelmingly adopted oil tax reform as their number one priority for the second year running, I'm here to relay to you that the current committee substitute for Senate Bill 192 failed to fundamentally change Alaska's competitiveness. Not only do we need a tax structure change, but we need an attitude change. The damning and demonizing of the single industry which has built much of Alaska's infrastructure and pays for 90% of Alaska's public education and all other state services must cease if Alaska ever hopes to secure its economic future. Most importantly, our expectations and actions as Alaskans should be based on reality. The reality is that both Alberta and North Dakota lowered their tax structures recently, and now business is booming and production is increasing. Alberta and North Dakota are not giving their oil up for free. They've positioned themselves competitively in the worldwide market of oil and gas. What they've done is create an investment climate which is attractive to investors. This is what Alaska needs to do as soon as possible. The reality is, if we accept the decline through throughput, the decline in taps, and the subsequent long-term consequences, soon the Alaska Chamber will be focused on other tax issues. We'll be focused on increased taxes on corporations and other natural resource extraction activities. These tax increases will not be enough to make up the shortfall left behind by declining throughput and volatile oil prices. The time for meaningful change is now. Accepting status quo today ensures Alaska's failure to responsibly develop its oil and gas resources while we still have a market for them. The Alaska Chamber will gladly support any legislation we believe will bring $5 billion or more in investment in Alaska's economic future. Please expedite meaningful changes to Senate Bill 192, making Alaska competitive. Thanks for your service and the opportunity to testify today.
Okay. Next up, Lynn Johnson.
Good afternoon, Senators. I'm Lynn Johnson, President of Dallenbach Corporation, a 37-year-old Alaska manufacturing business. I sincerely appreciate this opportunity to testify before this Senate Finance Committee. I've been an Alaskan businessman since 1975, and I'm the last of the founders of Dallenbach. I have a wife, two grown adult children, well, almost adult. I'm back this afternoon once again appearing as a canary in the proverbial mine shaft. By that I mean that as a businessman here in Alaska, the environment currently is not healthy for businesses in Alaska that support the major production companies. In time, if the current cost structure is allowed to continue, that unhealthy trend will migrate to all sectors of Alaska's economy, including real estate, hotels, restaurants, and banking. The plain and simple fact is that the cost structure here in Alaska are just not competitive with other oil basins in the lower 48, most notably North Dakota and Texas. North Dakota is now boasting that they will surpass Alaska in total production in the year 2013. I have traveled to both of these states seeking work for our Alaska-based manufacturing company, now a subsidiary of Koniag Incorporated. We cannot change the weather or distance to market for those firms producing our oil, but we can and should change tax regimes to compete favorably for capital investment dollars. There is nothing technically superior about our oil. It is merely a commodity, and capital investment will migrate to the lowest overall cost environment. For that reason, to be competitive, we need to change ACEs in a meaningful way, particularly the progressivity factor. Senate Bill 192 is not enough, and it will not improve Alaska's competitive ranking in the global petroleum markets. Too little, too late, and it will not encourage any additional capital investment by the majors. Passing any legislation that does nothing to make Alaska more competitive is quite simply a waste of time. Thanks again for this opportunity.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Johnson. Chuck Becker, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Chuck Becker, retired after 20 years as an officer with the U.S. Commercial Service. During that time, I was posted in Saudi Arabia, Azerbaijan, which enabled me to see what the American dollar has bought for those citizens of those countries. Like citizens of those countries, the benefits of oil company investment in this state have greatly benefited our citizens. Yet there are dark clouds gathering over Alaska. current state programs cannot be sustained in the relatively near future without meaningful reform of Alaska's oil production tax structure. I'm sure you've seen the polls that indicate a significant majority of Alaskans are concerned that the current production tax has chilled investment in our state. Alaska is just one of many oil basins throughout the world that have the attention of industry for capital investment. It's obvious that the current production tax is a disincentive for oil companies to invest here. At the current high price of oil, there's a boom underway in oil patches throughout the globe, but not here. We are far from the market. Moreover, it's expensive to operate in the Arctic. And most troubling, there is no upside for investment in Alaska. Industry has a lot of places to invest, and Alaska must be able to compete for those capital dollars. I urge you, therefore, to develop a bill that will make Alaska competitive. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Tom Hendricks, please.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and senators. Thanks for taking my testimony today. For the record, my name is Tom Hendricks, Jr. I'm Vice President of Strategic Business Development at Carlisle Transportation Systems and a lifelong Alaskan. My job at Carlisle is to seek out new business opportunities and keep our company on a path of growth. 35% of our business is related to the oil field support and construction businesses. We currently employ over 675 people. Over 550 of those are Alaskan employees. For the past 2 years, my primary job has taken me outside of the state of Alaska to North Dakota, Texas, and Edmonton, Alberta, where our management team sees opportunities for investment and growth. We have remained very flat in the Alaskan market in the oil field sector and principally continued operations and maintenance projects for the existing producers is all that we've had here. Our capital investment for the oil field division alone have gone into new buildings in Houston to support the Gulf region and Eagle Ford shale opportunities and to specialize trailing equipment for the Edmonton-Alberta region as well as additional trucks and trailers for these areas. Our fleet is mobile and we can move it to where the work is. We'd rather not. Accepting the status quo and decreased production is simply just not acceptable. We need the Senate to make meaningful tax adjustments to Senate Bill 192 that are similar to House Bill 110 to drive global capital here to Alaska that could be spent in Alaska to increase our production and throughput and our opportunities for sustainable quality jobs and investments here in Alaska. It's not just the major oil producers that are making investment decisions on the outcome of the final version of Senate Bill 192. It is grassroots companies like Carlisle that are looking at where our capital will be invested. First and foremost, we're an Alaskan company and we want to grow in Alaska. However, we, like other companies, have to look at sustainable opportunities. I'd like to thank this committee for your work on the issue and for the important information provided by Petro Van Meers and the modeling done by PFC Energy. Please take great care when crafting the final version of Senate Bill 192.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, for your testimony this morning, this afternoon. Dean Thacrockett?
Thank you. For the record, my name is Deantha Crockett. I'm here on behalf of myself. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. I am here to oppose SB 192. While I appreciate your taking up this bill, I don't think it makes meaningful changes that will fill the pipeline. I think HB 110 does, and I encourage you to at least incorporate the significant portions of that bill that oil companies have testified will make a difference, such as progressivity. I ask you to make the right decisions to create jobs and increase production, as production is what provides royalties to the PFD. I think exploration is a completely separate issue, and you need to be concentrating on filling the pipeline. I don't know Alaska without a pipeline, and I don't really want to. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Crockett. Ted Barron?
Thank you, co-chairs and committee members. My name is Ted Barron, and I'm here today and I represent myself. I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself. I came to Alaska 1989 as a 17-year-old kid from Chicago. I went to school at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and got my bachelor's degree and master's degree both from that university. I've chosen to live in Alaska for the past 23 years because it's been an excellent and outstanding place to live, as well as raise a family. But I'm concerned about the direction the state has been taking over the past couple of years. In my opinion, I believe that this bill doesn't go far enough to make meaningful tax change to the structure that's in place. We need to make some changes, and we need to make them fast. I think that the Senate should be a little bit more mindful of what was passed through HB 110, and I hope that you will consider the comments of the people that you've heard today. By far, I think most Alaskans really do support changes that are meaningful to the oil industry but still provide for the state. Over the past 23 years since I've been in the state, I've noticed that our hospitals have flourished, our universities have prospered immensely. We have better roads, better airports, and a myriad of other projects that have been the result of the taxes paid by the oil industry. You can continue down the same path that you're on right now and benefit for a couple more years, but at some point in time, the investment dollars that those companies put in our state are going to go elsewhere. And when that happens, our wonderful little permanent fund is going to disappear very quickly. It's not enough to last forever. Lastly, I just want to comment about our fair share. We're one of nine states in the union that doesn't have a personal income tax, and to the best of my knowledge, we're the only state in the union where the state actually pays us for living here. I hope that you'll make meaningful changes and allow us to continue that lifestyle. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ted. We're now going to jump up to Fairbanks. Corral, Howie?
It's Coral. Okay. How? H-O-W-E. Hi, my name is, like I just said, Coral Howe, and I represent four generations of Alaskans. My grandpa came here with the gold rush, went back home with his tail between his legs, but he started out here. And my dad ended up coming up, and myself and my kids were all here. We all want to stay here as Alaskans, and when my dad was working here in the 60s, I personally saw the poverty that existed in the villages. When I go to the villages now, I see thriving communities and proud people. Much of this is due to the oil industry. Also, I'm a business owner. I own a ridiculous business. It's called the Alaska Photo Booth Company. Now, it's a crazy little business. I bring photo booths in to events. People crawl in them. They act silly. But 82% of my business is either directly or indirectly done with oil and gas. Now, that might seem amazing to you, but they were used for events. We're also, the nonprofits in this state depend on the oil companies to sponsor these little photo booths so that they can have a good time, whether it's the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, the Girl Scouts, or a military event that we recently did at J-Bear before the guys deployed to Afghanistan that had over 3,000 people attend. This was sponsored by CH Twin Hill. Furthermore, I've been in sales most of my life and in business. My family has been in business. And I'd like all of you to think about if someone offered you an opportunity to come into their store and buy something and told you they were going to give you a great deal. They gave you 5% off. Would you continue to go there, or would you go to the store down the street that offered them 30% off for that same product with a whole lot less ties? Finally, I'd like to say that I have children here that want to stay in Alaska. And without getting too emotional, you have a responsibility to help them stay here. This is their home, and it's my home. I'm very disappointed with the representatives and senators that are supposed to be representing me in my district as the interior, and I need you to stop and think about Bill 192 and craft it in such a way so that my state grows.
Would you please
our oil
testimony,
goes
please?
Somewhere.
Would you
thank you.
Lisa Herbert, please.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Lisa Herbert, and I'm the Executive Director of the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. And we are the premier advocacy organization for business in the interior, currently representing over 700 members. Increasing oil production is one of the Chamber's top priorities this legislative session. In our opinion, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 192 does not go far enough to make our state more competitive and attractive to the oil and gas industry, and therefore the Chamber opposes that bill today. As I said, the Chamber represents the business community of Fairbanks, many of which are indirectly and directly supported by the oil industry. What does the future hold for our members such as Flowline Alaska, Airport Equipment Rentals, Linden, Carlisle, and my good friend Coral Howe from the Alaska Photo Booth, who you just heard from? Not to mention the hundreds of nonprofit organizations that work to ensure our quality of life if we accept just the status quo. Without meaningful tax reform, oil production will continue to decline, and investments will be made outside of Alaska that will negatively impact the business and residential communities of Alaska. Every day I read articles on the Internet that boast about industry investment elsewhere in the lower 48 and other countries around the world. It is critical that meaningful tax reform is made this legislative session so that Alaskans can boast about our industry investment as well. I thank you for the opportunity to offer my comments today and ask the committee to take seriously the over 100 Alaskans that have testified before both the Senate Finance and Resources Committee in the last month that support meaningful tax reform. I also urge you to implement a tax structure that provides balanced returns and fair incentives to both new and legacy fields so that Alaska workers and businesses have the ability to ensure prosperity for the future of Alaska. Thank you for your time here today.
Yeah, thank you for your testimony today. Now I'm going to go back into the Anchorage LIO. Mary Shields, please.
Good afternoon. To the co-chairs and the members of this committee, my name is Mary Shields. I'm General Manager for Northwest Technical Services. The changes as proposed in CSSB 192 will not change Alaska's competitive position in the global market. That's been testified to numerous times, and it is quite clear that that is what is not going to happen. It appears to me that what is being proposed is much more of a twitch than a fix in this industry. I can and could reiterate all the previous positions that have been stated that are against what we are seeing proposed at this time, but I see no need to do so. Suffice it to say that an adjustment in the progressivity tax must be made. Without a significant change, new investment and production will not occur. And the continued decline of throughput in TAP will continue to occur. This is what we cannot and must not have happen. On behalf of my company, my children, my grandchildren, hopefully my great-grandchildren, and myself, please make the necessary adjustments. Make it more like HB 110. Make it come out the way it needs to so we have production in off the fields and into the pipeline. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up, Frank Flavin.
Good afternoon, senators and co-chairs. My name is Frank Flavin. I'm a photographer and an Alaskan small business company since 1972. To quote one of my mentors, who was photographer Steve McCutcheon, and by the way, his brother Stan McCutcheon helped write the state constitution, Steve always quoted, "Without oil, this state would be at a standstill." That was in the 70s, which is true even more so today. CSSB 192 in its present form inhibits the development of new projects and resources as testified by committee consultants. It does not improve Alaska's competitive ranking in the global marketplace, 117th out of 129th, which is not good with such competitors as North Dakota, Texas, and Alberta. These competitors are thriving because they have a fair tax program. Time is of the essence to reverse the pipeline decline and to encourage new development, which takes years to come online. Please make changes to CSSB 192 that make Alaska competitive this session. Alaska's near and far future is in your hands now. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Frank. Jim Christian, please.
Senators and co-chairs, my name is Jim Christian. I've been in Alaska for 8 years. I work for Udelhoven Oilfield System Services, and I'm also an avid hunter. And I drove the last 2 years, I drove to the North Slope on caribou hunting trips, and as I saw the pipeline as it snaked its way through there, I was amazed as I saw this relatively small tube in comparison to the whole state. This pipeline is our lifeblood. It is our artery, period. That is what we survive on. And we know that it's losing production, and it's very important that we support an investment environment that would cause the investment needed to increase the throughput of the pipeline, or the state as we know it is going to go away. So that's my opinion on that, and I support the governor's bill on that. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Jimilis State. I know I mispronounced that last name. So.
I'm wondering if you're right. I think you may have been calling me Jamelia Saeed. Is that possible?
Sure. Nope. That sounds right.
I'm used to it being mispronounced. For the record, my name is Jamelia Saeed. I have been a resident of Alaska primarily since 1959. Last year, when 110 was proposed, the Senate said, stop, we need to know more. We've now learned a lot. It's very hard separating out some of what has been said as far as what is fact, what is fiction, and what is propaganda. The big three oil companies are saying they can't make any new investment because our investment climate is not favorable. Yet at the same time, those same companies are taking profits that they have made in the state of Alaska and are making investments in other parts of the world, such as Iraq and Russia, where they are getting a much, much lower return of on their investment than they are here in Alaska. Also, right now we have one of the highest rates of employment in oil production that we've had in many years. We have many new companies that are coming in that don't seem to find our tax structure so prohibitive. I think before giving the oil companies anything, we need something in return. SB 192 does have some provisions in it for that. I don't think they go far enough. HB 110 is basically a giveaway. It's saying, trust us. We will give $5 billion in investments. Nothing is in writing. No time frame is given for that. And we don't know that that's not simply investments they would have made anyway. I urge you to seriously consider the actions you're making. They are going to affect Alaska, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, our whole state. Don't give away our most vital resource. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony today. Continuing on in the LIO, Steve in Anchorage. Steve Cassell, I should say.
Hello, my name is Steve Cassell. Thank you for letting me share my opinion with you today. I came to the state in 1977 with my father. My brother and my father were at the opening of the TAPS, the celebration there in June of 1977. I graduated from Bartlett High School in 1981. I've worked in and around the state since then. I spent 18 years in Kodiak, 15 of which I worked for the public utility there. And now I work on the North Slope for 7 years, five of which have been for BP. I'm an operator up there, and I can see that the development is not coming forth. I can see that as a public employee, that when the oil revenues go down, proper taxes are going to go up to support the infrastructure that this state has built. My suggestion is that you look at 110, look at 192, come up with something that's reasonable, not a giveaway, but does make meaningful change so that the people that work up there, the people that worked with me in the public sector, and all the working people, whether we're in unions, whether we're non-union, that doesn't really matter at this point. The point is that we make change so that we get the money coming back in for investment to make this state great again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. See, Cliff Killeney? Cliff in the Anchorage LIO.
Hello, my name is Cliff Killeney. Thank you for taking my testimony. I'm here representing myself. I'm not here. I haven't been here set here by anybody else. I'm unique in this room and among the people participating in this hearing. In that for the last 35 years, I've worked for three different companies on the North Slope of Alaska since before oil field startup, and I have a perspective that not very many other people do. One thing I can say for sure is the Alaska investment climate is killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Last year at this time, I wrote the following emails and sent them to all members of the Alaska House and Senate, and the members of our federal House and Senate, including the governor, in support of HB 110. And this is the email I wrote. Alaska is ranked dead last by a CNBC Business Pulse study as the worst state in all 50 to do business. Woods McKenzie listed Alaska toward the bottom of the list in a global scale of 100 at 117th. Out of 129 places to do business. Similar conclusions have been reached by other studies. This is a United States and worldwide rebuke of the business and tax policies that form Alaska's business environment and a stinging performance review of those lawmakers in charge of making policy that no Alaska can be proud of. This must change. Alaska business and tax policies are, as I said before, killing the goose that laid the golden egg. Alaska is losing out to North Dakota, of all places, Edmonton, Alberta, and Texas. And in the next little while, North Dakota has added 20,000 jobs. Meanwhile, under the current tax system, Alaska is has lost more than 2,000 industry jobs over the last 2 years. Alaska's current production tax structure makes it hard to attract oil industry investment needed to fight decline. Production on the North Slope is falling fast and could fall below 500 barrels a day within a few years unless we take immediate action.
Cliff, can I get
production that goes into the pipeline. We are not running out of oil. We are running out of investors. Exploration has nearly
stopped. Can I get you to finish up,
there aren't any new projects lining up. The North Slope holds billions of barrels of...
We're now going to go to the off-net. I've got quite a list here on the off-net, and I heard that a lot of the folks here might be on one phone call, so we'll see how this works out. I'm going to start with Jerry Awinona? I'm not...
Jerry Awinona, resident of Alaska all my life, 43 years. I'd just like to testify on my own behalf. And I'd just like to thank the Senate President and those legislative leaders who stood up for Alaskans and recognized their constitutional duty that they swore an oath of office to. And I would like to let them know that we, as Alaskans and Alaska Natives, appreciate their service to the state. And we just feel that the industry that in discussion is one of the most discussed issues, industries in the state, and that reason is that they provide a huge amount of revenue for the state's treasury. I would suggest that some of these other smaller independents be allowed to lease and develop and produce on our state land as these big people are being allowed, and allow these smaller independents to grow and partnership with Alaska like these other big folks have been doing over the decades. So I believe that some of the smaller independents, if they're allowed to survive under this ACES tax regime and they flourish and they produce and we get a lot more oil in that pipeline than these three major players are willing to put in there, then I say maybe we should think about that fact, that if we allowed some of these smaller independents to grow with our state, then they will become major players as opposed to the current major players who don't want to play in our sandbox without any more money, besides us giving them $4 billion in the last 5 years for the maintenance and upkeep of the pipeline. They don't really mention that a lot in their advertising. Some of the tax credits that's being proposed in the legislature now, they're not saying that in the Make Alaska Competitive advertising. There's a lot of misinformation from former legislators on behalf of Make Alaska Competitive. Alaska is competitive. We are not facing threat from any neighbors or nations like Iran is, or the Middle East, or all of those other places.
Jerry,
we are very stable, we are very safe, and we are very well protected. And I thank the legislature for its opportunity to testify, and I thank you all for your service, and you all have a great day.
Thank you for your testimony. And folks, please try to stick to 2 minutes. Brian Clemens?
Yes, this is Brian Clemens. I am from Anchorage, and I'm with CH2M Hill. The elimination of progressivity and a reduction in the base tax in the tax code offers the best chance to build a diversified Alaskan economy. Alaska's economy and state treasury is still heavily dependent upon the oil and gas sector. A sharp downturn in the oil and gas market could be disastrous to the state economy and to the state treasury. A diversified economy would mitigate these risks. If a diversified economy is an important goal of this legislature, it should altogether eliminate progressivity in the oil and gas. Over recent decades, the Alaska legislature has created many state programs, including the appropriations of tens of millions of dollars in the Alaska Science and Technology Endowment Fund to spur diversified economic growth. These programs were well-intentioned, but had been unsuccessful. Our best path to diversifying our economy is to create the conditions in which entrepreneurial activity will thrive. Entrepreneurs begin as laborers, craft professionals, and managers. They accrue financial capital and skills from the work that they do currently available in industrial sectors. In our state, our main industrial sector is oil and gas. But by definition, entrepreneurs are the pioneers of new kinds of businesses. They leave one type of business and start another. They leave one industrial sector to begin a new business in a new industrial sector. To create conditions for lively entrepreneurial activity in this state, we must encourage the growth of the oil and gas sector. It is from that sector that your future entrepreneurs will most likely come. In the oil and gas, managers and laborers will acquire skills and capital that can be leveraged into new forms of economic activity. That is what entrepreneurs do. New businesses might be able to grow here, be headquartered here, and might expand its activities into the lower 48 or even internationally while transferring revenues back to Alaskans. Sometimes entrepreneurs might leverage their skills and capital into starting a business outside of the oil and gas sector. The new business also might grow here, be headquartered here, and expand its activities likewise outside of the state, but transfer revenues back to Alaska.
Brian, can I get you to finish up, please?
Okay, we'll finish up here. Let's together make the significant changes needed to be competitive and begin our journey in creating a diversified Alaskan economy and make our star, our state, the crown jewel of the union.
Okay, thank you. And then next up, Rada. I'd have trouble pronouncing this name. First name is R-A-D-A.
Yes, I'm here. My name is Rada Khadzinova, and I've called Alaska home for the last 18 years. I'm testifying on behalf of myself today. I'm a student at UAA pursuing a graduate degree in environmental permitting and regulation, and I'm also employed by Hastings Hill, where I hope to use my degree to help permit new oil and gas development projects. I have two quick points regarding the Senate Bill 192 because resource development affects all Alaskan residents and me personally. The state has to change its tax structure to promote new development. From my personal experience at CH Slim Hill, we have not worked on engineering projects leading to new production in the last 3 years. All we're doing on the North Slope and statewide replacement and infrastructure maintenance projects. New production means new jobs. It means my livelihood in Alaska is bright. As an Alaskan resident for the last 18 years, I have enjoyed receiving an annual PFD check, which is a perk very few states or countries afford to their citizens. New production means new revenue contribution to the PFD that benefits all Alaska residents. I'm originally from Sakhalin, Russia, where oil companies recently invested billions of dollars into new oil and gas pipelines. I can attest that Alaska is unique on so many different levels, but as an oil and gas province, we're not yet that unique. We must be competitive with the global marketplace. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today. Mila Unmanskaya.
I would like to see tax reform. It will increase oil production, make Alaska more competitive, and stimulate Alaska infrastructure development. Thank you.
And can you please give us your name and who you represent?
Oh, my name is Mila Umanskaya, and I'm with CH Slim Hill.
Okay. Frank O'Connor, please.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Frank O'Connor. I'm an engineer, a veteran engineer working here at CH2M Hill. I'm new to the oil and gas industry. I've been up here for about 6 months, and I've had a wonderful time living in Alaska. I come from upstate New York. My father was the economic development director in central New York. In 1980s, I saw many companies leave because the state routinely would say, sorry, we can't do any more to help you. They started retreating to South Carolina and North Carolina. Today I'm in the oil and gas industry. We have, as was stated earlier, we have a worldwide offering of places where companies can go for a better return on investment. This scares me. Today we live under, I fear that you're living under the paradigm that oil and gas will always come out of Alaska. I used to live near Western Massachusetts, where the textile mills were the rule of the day, and they believed textile mills would always be the rule of the day. There are no textile mills running in Western Massachusetts today. I want to make sure that you're aware of the stakes of the game. You know, Alaska today, I look at many other states. I recently moved out of Vermont. They were in a deficit. California is in a terrible deficit. New York State has always been in a deficit. Alaska does not live that way today, and I hope it doesn't live that way in the future. Thank you very much.
Okay. You hand the phone to John Stutzman.
Hello. My name is John Stutzman. I've been in the oil gas field for about 30 years, and I want to thank you for listening to my testimony. It's the first time I've ever done this. I've been in Alaska for about 10 years, and I can only see this as a the most avoidable problem that we have. It seems very simple. I don't see corporations or oil companies as evil. I see them as businesses that do good things. I've always done well here. In the last few years, and when I first started here, we were booming. I mean, our place was packed. We were all working overtime here. Now, I'm not an engineer. I'm a designer. I'm not college degree or anything. But right now, we are just doing maintenance work. We're barely staying busy. I don't know, you know, from month to month how much work I'm going to have. And it's discouraging. We've had quite a few contractors move out of state back to Texas, and a lot of them, when we're busy, they come up here, spend money, buy machines, go on vacations. They spend a lot of money up here. And yeah, the residents may be in Texas, but they live here when they work here. And we lost just about everybody that does that over the last 3 years. But anyway, that's just a short little view from my point, and I thank you for listening.
Okay. Hand the phone over to Jonathan Frant, please. Frant?
We'll have Warren. Jonathan's not here. Warren's his proxy.
Yeah, this is Warren Lucas with CH2M Hill. I manage the Department of Instructional Engineers here and moved to Alaska a year ago in October. I support House Bill 110 to relax the tax burden on the oil companies, and see this as it's an excellent way to encourage more exploration. And the solid teacher of my family, my coworkers, and my neighbors.
What was your name again, please?
Warren Lucas with CH2M Hill.
Okay, thank you, Warren. Go ahead and finish up, please.
I'm all done.
Okay. Jim Neely, please.
Thank you. My name is Jim Neely. I was born and educated in Alaska. I'm an engineer. I work for CH2M Hill also. Spent about 30 years now in the Alaskan oil industry. And I know you guys have a tough job. You're trying to figure out where's the balance between getting a clear and equitable share in taxing and killing the golden goose. And so I just want to offer you a piece of information, my observation. In 2007, I was working for another oil company here in town, and we were working on the design of a pad they were going to call I-Pad on the North Slope. It was to be the largest production pad ever built on the slope, with the capacity expanding to 96 wells. Everything was gung-ho, fast as you can get it done, when the ACES rule laws were passed, in very short order they came back and said that so grossly switched the economics on that job that they didn't need to do a detailed analysis to put it back on the shelf. So I just want to give you guys some heads up that you're trying to do a balancing act, and I appreciate that. I think you're off base in terms of how much you think they're going to get out of it. We must compete on a nationwide and global base for economic dollars. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Next up, I'll hand the phone over to Brad Clarkey, please. Brad Clark.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Brad Clark. I'm a mechanical engineer at CH2M Hill here in Anchorage. I've been in the oil and gas business 30 years. I've been a born-again Alaskan for about 6 years now. And I just feel that what we need to do is we've worked on studies and the throughput. We see the cost is still going to be there, even with declining production, so the economics just doesn't seem to make sense. It makes more sense to allow competitiveness and ease things so more businesses will come in and invest. I recently worked on a project for the E&I, the Italian company up there, a Lick-Tock Point pad, and that was a very successful project, but that project had been on the books almost 10 years before it's come into fruition. So just kind of, you know, keep that in mind. But most of the projects that we still remaining to work on are all maintenance projects. We don't really have any incentive out there to create new projects. And I just want to say from a, you know, throughput and what's going to happen to the pipeline if we don't continue throughput,
it's going to make things even worse. So we'd like to encourage you to make the right decision for keeping us competitive. Maybe someday we'll be an exporter and we'll be able to produce more than we consume.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Heather March.
Good afternoon. My name is Heather March, and I'm an employee at CH2M Hill. I moved to Alaska with my family more than 20 years ago because of the employment opportunities in the oil and gas industry. And since then, my personal livelihood, as well as that of each of my immediate family members, is directly supported by the oil and gas industry. I'm asking you to support significant and meaningful tax reform that will fuel our state's economy and support existing and future oil and gas industry jobs. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. Eli Stein.
Yes, this is Eli Stein. I'm an engineer at CH2M Hill. While I visited Alaska at least a dozen times in the last 5 years, I'm a new resident here in the state. As a matter of fact, I don't think technically I am a resident yet of the state, but I hope to be a resident of the state for many years to come. I moved to Alaska from Colorado, and one of the main reasons that I'm here is because of the beautiful state that we have and the opportunities that are here, not just in the oil and gas industry, but also with the beautiful nature that we have, the hikes, the skiing, and everything that is so beautiful here. I would love to be in the state for many years to come. However, I'm worried about the fact that I might have to go down and get used to traffic in Houston. It's not what I want to do. I'm not here to tell you what you should do, but I want you guys to be aware of what are the opportunities up here and how you're possibly limiting them and limiting the future of many Alaskans or soon-to-be Alaskans in the future by not allowing the oil companies to work up here in a way that we can make a profit and they also can make a profit. So I just want you guys to keep that in mind. Thank you very much.
Okay, maybe hand the phone over to Jody. Jody Dingley?
Actually, Jody had to step out. So this is Emily Cross. I am filling in for Jody. I'm Alaska native, a NANA shareholder, and I also do community relations here at CH2M Hill. So I would support SB 192 to encourage further development up on the North Slope and elsewhere in Alaska by making business competitive again. As a community relations manager, I see firsthand what private employers like CH2M Hill can do to help our community. And more business means giving more back to the community, and we'd like to encourage that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Last up there, Sheila Woodhouse.
Had to go to another meeting, so I think you got this location.
Well, I think we did. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up in the off-net, Kelly Waters, please.
My name is Kelly Walters. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. Thank you, Senate co-chairs, for allowing me to testify today. I've been an Alaska resident, if that's important, for 20 years. And a summary of my testimony is as follows. First choice, no change in ACEs. Second choice, I support SB 192. And third choice, absolutely not anything. No on HB 110. Here's the deal. The best lobbyists money can buy are on the prowl in Juneau and testifying today. The governor and the Make Alaska Competitive Coalition, they're out in full force, while most of us ordinary Alaskans are just trying to make ends meet. How do ordinary Alaskans feel? I think a good indicator, folks, is to look at any of the articles, pro or con, in either the Juneau Empire, the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer, the Alaska Dispatch, or the Anchorage Daily News, having to do with ACEs or HB 110, to understand that ordinary Alaskans, not paid shills or lobbyists, are absolutely against the governor's $2 billion giveaway. The comments defending ACEs and against HB 110 are simply unambiguous and overwhelming and have been for months, if not years. So my question, why aren't all these people who are testifying today against ACEs and in favor of HB 110 commenting on the online newspapers? The answer is simple. They can't back up their claims when other commenters swiftly and easily debunk their bogus propaganda. There's no follow-up questions or comments to those testifying today. It's safe. Lie away with talking points provided by the oil industry. Oil company employees are all calling in, pushing their employers' inaccurate propaganda, and they're testifying from their cozy offices, passing the phones around, and earning a paycheck. So keep that in mind, please, as you tally both the pro and con testimony. And the governor and those who continue to produce, to push, rather, HB 110, which is now a thoroughly debunked corporate welfare bill, ought to be ashamed. Small businesses connected to the oil companies have to be public in their support to give away Alaska's wealth to the most profitable transnational corporations of the history of civilization. Otherwise, they'll risk future contracts. A few years ago, taxes were zero in 15 of 19 fields on the North Slope. Investment did not go up. It went down. Investment fell when taxes were zero. Fact. Under ACES, we have record exploration this year. Fact.
Kelly, can I get you to finish up, please?
Fact. And just to sum up, record profits from oil companies. Fact. So if you're going to change ACES, my one suggestion is to change, give rebates and tax incentives when production is actually increased and the pipeline's filled. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Leopold Borisis.
Yes, my name is Leopold Borisis. I've been a resident here for 37 years. And I've done a lot of things here, mostly hunting professionally for 20 years. And I'm representing myself. And my thing is oil companies' refusal to pay a minimum percentage to the state of Alaska when the same oil companies paid 90% to South America for their oil and still made billions of dollars profit shows that something is very wrong with this picture. Our legislators, and especially our governor, have to stop catering to the oil industry and demand a reasonable and a fair percentage comparable to what they paid to the South American government. Alternative is to own our own oil rigs and then hire the oil companies instead of the other way around, like in Norway, which has the highest standard of living for the public in a Western world for their public. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony today.
Thank you very much.
Blythe Campbell.
This is Blythe Campbell, and I am a third-generation Alaskan. I'm actually a real ordinary Alaskan, just like your last caller, but I believe that Senate Bill 192 doesn't go far enough. I prefer House Bill 110. I think that the progressivity really needs to be addressed as one of the most serious problems with the bill. You know, I just don't think that this bill particularly is going to do what needs to be done to bring investment back to our state. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay. Thank you for calling in this afternoon. Now we're going to return to the Anchorage LIO. And please keep your comments to 2 minutes. Eric Downey. Eric in the Anchorage LIO.
Yes, right here. Thank you for your time and energy on this, my co-chairs. My name is Eric Downey. I'm here representing myself. I'm a business consultant in Anchorage. I work with a lot of small manufacturing companies. And my suggestion to you is go big or go home. The young athletes have that saying before they embark on an important competition. They know if they're going to make a meaningful difference, they have to put in the extra effort, take a risk, and give it their all. That message seems to have been lost on us as we get older and our focus turns to security and guarantees rather than opportunities and rewards from an entrepreneurial lifestyle. The only guarantee we have is that if we continue on our present path, the pipeline will dry up along with our quality of life. And this is a huge problem that will require multiple strong solutions. Instead of watering down the governor's proposed tax structure, I suggest that we all get out there and create at least 5 other new ways to add oil to the pipeline. Go big. Thank you.
Okay. Next up, Brian Hovey.
Thank you, co-chairs and senators of Senate Finance Committee. I also was remiss the last time around, 2 weeks ago when we testified on this bill and resources. We ran short of time. I want to thank that committee as well for the opportunity to testify on this bill.
And your name is?
I, too, consider myself an ordinary Alaskan. I'm representing myself. Been a resident of the state for several decades now. Came to the state about the same time that the oil wealth came to the state. My understanding of the state prior to that was that it was not a pretty place to be. It was fun. If you enjoyed the outdoors, independent lifestyle, we are no longer completely independent in that respect. We are totally dependent on a particular source of wealth, and that wealth comes through a pipeline. We've lost track, I think, over the last 30-plus years of what our state government costs us because we have no idea individually. So, individually, we must be, you know, if we don't want to go back to a place back in the 60s or before, if we want to continue to enjoy this lifestyle, have a, an opportunity for economic gain here, we need to put some oil in that pipeline. I don't believe that 192 gets us there. As I indicated the last time around, I think that 192 is a distraction. HB 110 is really the vehicle that we need to pursue here. And again, thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. Appreciate it.
Brian, could you please put your name on the record for us?
Yes, I apologize. This is Brian Hove, H-O-V-E.
Okay, thank you.
I live in Anchorage.
Thank you. Next up, Joe Morrison. Could you please identify yourself for the record and then speak to the bill?
Yes, hello. My name is Joe Morrison, and I am a second-generation Alaskan. And I want to echo what one of your other people said in testimony. To avoid stopgap measures, go big or go home. I'm urging Senate Finance to focus on incentives, making sure the right incentives are in place for increased resource production in the state, and to focus on the midterm economic health of the state of Alaska. I'm a second-generation Alaskan, and I've left the state three times. I left first when I got my bachelor's degree. I left a second time to work overseas. And most recently, I left to get an MBA and come back to Alaska. Here's what's interesting. I came back to Alaska in fall, and I was talking with other entrepreneurs and people in Anchorage about whether I should buy a house. To me, it looked like a great time to buy a house. But I want to key everybody into what Alaskans are saying about the economy and our future prospects. One of the people who I talked with about buying a home said, "Joe, I'm not sure I would buy a home right now." I said, I don't understand. Interest rates are low. It looks like property values are declining in Anchorage. This seems like a great time to lock in a 30-year mortgage. He said, really, the economic outlook near-term is great for the next 5 years, but it's 10 to 15 that we're all worried about here. So I understand that Senate Finance is working at an intersection. You are working on strong revenues for the state and ensuring there are no giveaways. I understand that. I also want you to focus on, and I think the primary focus should be on, maximizing incentives and focusing on the medium-term economic health of the state of Alaska. That means what do we need to do? One, ensure that the right incentives are in place for increased capital expenditures from the majors and new projects. Two, are the right forms of energy production, are the right kinds of taxes in place to stimulate other types of energy production within the state? And three, is your work on progressivity really likely to increase any production in the state of Alaska? So if the answer to this is no, I'd urge you guys to go back to the drawing board. This issue is now. It takes a very long time. As you know, long lead times for new projects to come online.
Joe, could I get you to sum up, please?
Considers this, because what Alaskans are talking about, we're looking at the health of the state, not only in the immediate term,
Joe,
but...
Joe, could I get you to sum up, please?
I'm wondering whether we can really stand the coming storm. Thank you.
Turn it back on, if you would. We've got, we're going to go back to the Anchorage LIO. Pat Abney, please. Pat at Anchorage LIO.
I'm Pat Abney. I live in Anchorage. I've lived here for 50 years. I find it incredible that someone who took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the State of Alaska would be putting the oil corporations before the maximum benefit of its people. Corporations who enjoy billions of profit each quarter. We want to give them billions for no concrete assurance of any additional benefit. I am totally opposed to House Bill 110. Senate Bill 192 appears to be an effort to be fair to both the oil corporations and the people of Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this issue.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. We are now going to stand at ease. come back on the record. We've got about 10, 12 minutes left. There's three folks that have called in, citizens around the state, so we'll take them. We're going to do the two off-nets and then go to the Anchorage LIO. We'll start in the off-net. Again, let me just, because some of you guys might have just called in, we've been allocating 2 minutes, and I don't, so I want you to keep within your allotted time to make it fair for everybody else. Start by introducing yourself for the record, who you represent, and then speak to the Senate Bill 192, please. We'll start with Kim Griffith. Kim Griffith.
And I am a resident in Anchorage. I represent my two sons, Scott and Jace Griffith, who are fifth-generation Alaskans. I plan to raise them here in Alaska, and I just want them to have the opportunities that I have had, my parents have had, my great-grandparents have had here in Alaska. And in order to do that, I think we need to reform our oil tax structure so that we have more development going on in Alaska and that we can continue with the greatness that our resources have provided for the citizens here. Thank you for your time.
Kim, can you identify yourself? The speakers weren't quite turned on when you first started.
Oh, certainly. Excuse me. My name is Kim Griffith. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I represent my sons, Scott and Jace Griffith, fifth-generation Alaskans.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Warren from Nikiski.
Yes, sir. I'm Bill Warren, a 60-year resident. I reside in Nikiski. I'm representing myself. I'm a retired member of Local 367, and I have welded on the TAPS line. And I really got to applaud the Senate Resource and you folks in Senate Finance. You're doing a great job. And the information you brought to the public is really opening ears. And regarding the TAPS and the harvesting and all this. So I'm going to make this short, but I'm glad to testify here, and I am opposed to House Bill 110 and all out for Senate Bill 192. And thank you very much for letting me testify.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Bill, this afternoon. And last but not least, we'll go back to the Anchorage LIO. Ray Metcalf, please. Ray, if you can introduce yourself for the record, please, and you have 2 minutes.
This is for ethical government, and for the record, we're the folks that introduced or...
Could you please introduce yourself for the record, please, before you start your testimony?
Must be something wrong with this microphone. I've done so 3 times. Ray Metcalf.
Okay, Ray, go ahead and do your testimony, and I'll start the clock after you get going.
Okay. My name is Ray Metcalf. I represent a group called Citizens for Ethical Government. We were the people that exposed VECO for bribing legislators. We spent years in that exposure and preceded the FBI by many, many years. As I was sitting through the public testimony here the other day on oil taxes, it became clear to me how successful the oil companies have been at convincing people of many people throughout Alaska of things that simply aren't true about the structure of oil taxes. Case in point, the AOGA is currently running an ad that says, quote, having the highest oil tax in North America drives investment away. I find it highly unlikely that AOGA is unaware that Mexico's tax on oil is much higher than Alaska's. Alaska's effective rate, according to the oil companies themselves and the people that they work with, is 73%, Mexico's effective rate is 94%. And the last time I looked at the map, Mexico was in North America. I also noticed the Resources Committee hearings that VECO's success in bribing legislators is still fresh on the minds of many Alaskans. But VECO's bribery didn't start at the turn of the century, and it didn't start in the 90s. When I was in the legislature, the oil companies used promises of more production and bribery to persuade several skeptical legislators to vote for massive tax breaks that became known as ELF. more production didn't happen, and it became the largest transfer of wealth, one of the largest transfers of wealth in American history. Over the past 25 years, BP went from being the 13th largest oil company in the world to third, and they did it with money that rightly belonged to the state of Alaska, or should have belonged to the state of Alaska. Soon after leaving the legislature, it became obvious to me that several of the people, public officials I had worked with and trusted, and several of the legislators I had worked with and trusted, were on the take. One by one, I watched legislators get their six-figure payoffs after I had left the legislature, and it was clearly, obvious to me, at least, that it was in payment for the legislation they had pushed through the legislature.
Ray, your first attempt to expose
Bill Allen for bribing legislators was in 1986, and involved an accusation of laundering money to pay a political party for expenditures they had made on DECO's behalf. The administration.
Ray, could I get you to sum up, please, because we're giving everybody 2 minutes.
Okay. In closing, it is quite clear to me that what the oil companies are up to. And there isn't a legislator in the state of Alaska that isn't fully aware of how successful a fundraiser at the Petroleum Club can be if they simply cast a vote that is otherwise undefensible to give away a few billion dollars of Alaska's money to some oil companies. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for coming in, Ray. And the last, I guess there was one more, and it came into the LIO, so we'll do this one, and then we'll be done for the day and close the public hearing portion. David Matheny, please. In Anchorage, Alaska.
Hello, my name is Dave Matheny, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska. Real quickly, I think that ACE's tax structure as it is right now is working exceptionally well on behalf of the people of the state of Alaska. SB 192 is an okay bill in my mind. It's shaving a little bit off the progressivity on the top end. Giving the dog a little bit of bone because the dog is definitely barking now. HB 110 is a horrible bill. It gives away billions of our dollars and gets nothing in return. Promises of investments and jobs are simply not good enough with the oil companies. Amerada Hess, the Exxon Valdez oil spill, and then the political corruption means that the oil companies and the folks in the oil companies long ago lost the ability to do good faith deals. That's just silliness. I would like to talk about HB 110. If we were to give back $8 billion of the our oil money to the oil companies, that comes to $11,268 per person, every man, woman, and child in Alaska. That's based on population of 710,000. For the Anchorage area alone, that is $3.2 billion of our money that funds our roads, our schools, our police, social services, economic development. I'm not sure what would happen if that money goes missing, that much money goes missing that quickly, but it would be a budget crisis of enormous proportions. And I'd like to finish by saying, talk a little bit about the Make Alaska Competitive Coalition and their claims of honesty. I went on the Make Alaska Competitive Coalition website over the last 6 months and began to notice that there were some supporters listed there that I had questions about.
David, I need you to sum up, please.
Red Cross. I called the Alaska Red Cross and said, did your board pass a resolution in support of this? Oh, no. I called the Red Cross headquarters in D.C. and got a hold of the inspector general who made a report.
David, could you sum up, please?
Red Cross is missing now from the headquarters on the Make Alaska Competitive Coalition. Alaska.
We have two people left in the Anchorage LIO that need to testify. We have about 3 minutes left on the meeting calendar. I'm going to come back into the Anchorage LIO. Ask for Tristia Gondner, followed by Brendan Babb, please, and try to keep your comments to 2 minutes, or we're going to run out of time. And everybody's been allowed 2 minutes to make it fair for all the testifiers. So with that, I'd like to go back to the Anchorage LIO and ask Tristia to identify herself for the record and speak to the bill, please.
My name is Krista Gonder, and I am the Senior Vice President at Northern Industrial Training, better known as NIT. I am here today to represent my family and the 3,000-plus Alaskans NIT trains every year. We depend on a strong oil and gas industry for our livelihood, as all Alaskans do. SB 192, as it stands, threatens Alaska's healthy economy, my livelihood, my families, and the people we train. We are asking you to make significant change to the bill before it moves out of committee. We have all heard from the consultants, Pedro Van Meers, PFC Energy, that the current tax structure encourages a harvest regime. Tax paid for my education and my brother's education at Chapman Elementary and at Homer High School. Right now, we are threatening long-term gains with short-term gains. Excuse me, we're dealing with short-term gains over long-term gains. Short-term gains are just that, short-term. We need to think globally, we need to think big, and we need to understand that we are part of an economy that competes with other areas of the world, and trying to compare Alaska to Norway to Mexico is like comparing apples to oranges. We need to look at total government take, deal with facts, and the people that are here today, we don't need to be bloggers with anonymous usernames. We're Alaskans that are here with companies stating our names and putting forth our best interests for the people we represent. We need to encourage investment in the future so that my nieces and my future children can remain here in this state and enjoy the benefits that Alaska offers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. And then last, Brendan, please, if you can identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please.
Hi, I'm Brendan Babb, citizen. A lifelong Alaskan born in Fairbanks. I'm a mathematician doing research for a NASA project. I'd like to thank the Senate for taking public testimony. I am testifying in favor of SB 192 and against HB 110. I feel Parnell and the oil companies are deeply exaggerating the reasons that ACES is hurting them and by extension Alaska. It reminds me of a common ploy in high school. Say two high school girls wanting to go to a party on a Friday night. Let's call them Shauna and Olive Oil. Shauna asks her parents if she can go to the party, if she can spend the night at Olive Oil's house. Olive Oil asks if she can spend the night at Shauna's house. Both sets of parents trust their children and say yes. But later Shauna's father, let's call him Bennett, decides to call Olive Oil's parents and check to see what's going on, and they discover the scam. ACES creates jobs ACES creates jobs at least for ad companies, media buyers, actors playing oil workers, and radio stations that all the media buy, that oil companies buying to discredit ACES. Parnell and the oil companies claim ACES is hurting jobs, but a report has shown that North Slope employment is close to its highest level. They also claim that there's a decline and imminent death of the pipeline flow, although the pipeline has been declining since 1989, and recently in a court case, Judge Gleason revealed the lifetime of the pipeline was much longer than is being shown in ads. Also, I would say overall, oil companies have $4 billion in subsidies at a national level based on subsidies and tax cuts. With that extra money, also oil companies are making some of the largest profits ever for corporations ever. If they already have so much large amounts of money, how come they aren't doing the capital investment in Alaska to get the oil, which is over $100 a barrel right now? How will giving away $1.8 billion a year increase their development if they're not already developing now? I work on optimizing stuff, and right now it's more efficient to run large million-dollar campaigns to get $1.8 billion in return than it is to invest in oil development. Thank you. I appreciate the Senate taking public testimony and also calling the other parents and checking on what's going on. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. That concludes the public hearing portion today, and we'll conclude the meeting. Tomorrow we're going to reconvene at 9 a.m. We've got three bills on the agenda: Senate Bill 91, Sport Fishing Guide Services; Senate Bill 201, Oil and Gas Corporate Taxes; and Senate Bill 146, Snow Classics. We are adjourned.